Federalist 42 and the Case Against State-Level Immigration Games by Alan Thomas. The unfortunate and tragic events that have been occurring in the last month with ICE are the natural outgrowth of certain states' policies and their desire to override federal immigration law. The lack of knowledge of our Constitution and lack of enforcement of the Constitution has ballooned into the belief that states have certain rights that do not exist. The issue was further compounded when certain administrations refused to enforce federal law, leading to the utter catastrophe we have today. But was this foreseeable? Was there a way that we could have prevented this chaos from descending upon our cities and states? Is our Constitution still built to support the problems we are seeing and facing today? And if it is, how could it have prevented this? We sometimes forget the time period before the Constitution, when states had all the power and withheld everything they could from a consolidated federal government. While they were fearful of tyranny, this organization created many problems, and one of those was the issue of citizenship. State constitutions used vague terms such as inhabitants to give citizenship. This naturally vague term was not equally applied across each of the states. However, there was reciprocity across the state lines. So an inhabitant citizen in one state was treated as a citizen in another, even though that same inhabitant likely would not have been given citizenship status in the differing state. Thus, individuals would travel to the states where it was easy to gain legal standing and then move freely throughout the others. These vague naturalization rules led to confusion and chaos. This was far from the only situation that lacked uniformity and was causing angst among the states, but this loophole was one that needed to be addressed at the Constitutional Convention. So, when all of the issues were laid down before the architects of the Constitution, they quickly learned that they were going to need a way to distinguish between the powers and authorities that the federal government would hold, that the states would have, and what could be jointly shared, or at least not prohibited. The logic of these arguments was documented for us in Federalist Number 42. The case made for naturalization was exactly the problem outlined above, and thus the federal government should oversee uniform laws that should transcend state borders. It is also the reason the federal government is tasked with defense of the border. Border states would have to bear a burden of cost to enforce border security that non-border states would not have to. This was economically unfair and also strategically risky to the hazard of other countries invading through the single might of one state versus the might of the country as a whole. Madison was sure to make it quite clear that this uniformity was not needed because of distrust between the states, but rather a prevention of state discord due to the unilateral decisions of one state that naturally affect all the others. Uniform rules not only protect fairness, but also the sovereignty of the nation. While the power of naturalization was given to the federal government, the specific rules and regulations was left up to the legislative process. The founders were not naive to think that the situation of immigration might change throughout the years, and accordingly left the ability to change it up to the politicians and the citizens who elect them. And now today, we have inexplicably come full circle. States are bypassing the naturalization process and giving state-issued IDs and specific benefits to individuals who have not complied with national laws and regulations. States and even cities are declaring themselves sanctuaries from federal law enforcement and oversight. These states are using administrative categories to grant individuals legitimacy without explicitly calling it citizenship, which is in essence attempting to bypass the federal government's important job and duty to regulate immigration. But these actions do not occur in a vacuum, and the decision of these states impose real consequences on those who choose not to exceed their authority. These decisions are not states exercising their independence, but rather exporting their views and ideologies onto states who do not agree. The problem they are addressing is not compassion, but rather a subtle, or not so subtle, bypassing of constitutional structure. As a constitutional republic, this is dangerous for far deeper reasons, because it undermines the integrity of the nation itself. So, Could all the ire and tragedy surrounding ICE have been prevented? The rhetoric and debate currently happening about an enforcement agency actually enforcing the rules passed by Congress is vilifying the messenger whilst ignoring the message. Even the ire directed at President Trump is ignoring the structure of our government. The executive branch is responsible for upholding the laws of the nation, not create them. The legislative branch is directly responsible for the entire debacle surrounding immigration. It is not ICE's or the president's fault for upholding the laws passed down to them. This problem is also jointly shared by both parties. Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden, who had the tie-breaking senatorial vote, each had control of the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. But so did George Bush for 4 years, not just 2 years that all the Democrat presidents had, and most recently, Donald Trump. Instead of actually attempting to fix immigration, both sides have cleverly used immigration as a campaign tactic instead of doing the difficult and prudent action of attempting to fix the issue permanently through legislation. President Biden attempted to bypass the legislative process altogether by simply not enforcing the law, which has led to the backlash of President Trump doing the opposite. Meanwhile, all of us citizens responsible for pressuring and electing our representatives have largely been apathetic towards enacting immigration change that would actually make a difference. Since we have now opted for the dangerous path of undermining constitutional legitimacy, it is no wonder that the rules are stretched and distorted by both sides to accommodate their preferred ideology and plan. The unfortunate outcome is the tragedy we see playing out before our very eyes. Violence that does not have to happen if we had known our history or known more about the structure of our country. The states and cities that have chosen to play games with the lives of their inhabitants are responsible for the events that are unfolding, because our founders knew through experience that this would never work. They knew that uniform laws create order, and that they are necessary in a country that is naturally going to push and pull against the boundaries of states' rights. They applied this logic to other ideas too, such as bankruptcy, because they knew that there are those who would abuse good intent. Immigration law is one of many uniform laws, such as bankruptcy, that was created and acknowledged by past presidents as being important to the American experiment. These powers enumerated to the federal government were not done in order to weaken liberty, but rather to make self-government possible. In fact, immigration law is especially vital to the integrity of a free citizenry, because it beckons in an individual to participate in our governance. We should not lightly abandon the precepts and institutions that were established just because of feelings, compassion, or intent, as it will lead us down a road that will be paid for with more than hurt feelings, but rather with the tragedy of human lives.